You're listening to Conversations with Her podcast with Milani Shani and the Her First Collective.
Welcome to Conversations with Her. Today's episode is a pre-recorded interview with Milani and World Rhythm Nation on Atlanta's WRFG Radio. Enjoy.
This afternoon, we are speaking with Milani Shani, continuing our discussions on emotional health, women and emotional health, particularly women in the workplace. And we shared a little bit about general emotional health and some of the tips and tools that we can utilize. And this afternoon, we're sharing a little bit more about specifically women in the workplace, some of the dynamics, how we can manage some of those circumstances and dynamics, and what we can do to improve them. We also delve a little bit into transition. So some of us want to stay in the workplace, or we have to stay in the workplace for a particular period, and some of us are making the decision to transition out, and all of the emotions that go along with that, as well as those emotions while you are in the particular environment, and how to manage emotions through each of those. So we're sharing an interview with Milani Shani, master coach, who will be navigating us through those tips and tools as well. And so we are very honored and excited to welcome Milani Shani to World Rhythm Nation. Welcome, Milani. How are you today?
Hello. I am wonderful. How are you today, Queen?
I am doing amazing and really extra amazing to spend some time with you. It's been a minute. I'm so excited that we've reconnected and we have this opportunity to share more. Welcome back. Always a pleasure to be with you and spend time with you and learn from you and be empowered by you. And we just couldn't get enough last time, Milani. So here we go. So we're talking about women in the workplace. We just touched on it a little bit last time, our emotional health, mental health. We did talk about the distinctions. And I think maybe it might make sense for folks who may not have been with us last time, if you could also talk about those distinctions again before we get into the topic. And that is just the difference between our mental health, which we hear a lot about, and our emotional health. And then we'll jump into how what we're seeing in the workplace.
Yeah, so, you know, it's so important that we have both definitions, because people tend to focus just on the mental health, and the mental health and the emotional health go hand in hand. So emotional wellness refers to your ability to manage your emotions, those shadow or negative feelings that impact our physical and psychological and social well-being. And mental wellness is your ability to maintain positive mental health, like to cope with daily pressures and face challenges and with confidence. So with your mental health, it's a thought process, it's thinking, it's how you process your thoughts. And then your emotional health is how you process your feelings or lack thereof. So either way, processing your thoughts, processing your feelings, both work hand in hand. And we want to keep both balanced, managed, and well to be able to be whole in our wellness.
Very good. Thank you for that. So in the workplace, there's, you know, pre-COVID, right? There's all kinds of things going on in the workplace. Then we have COVID, and that adds a whole other layer. We have parents and children remoting in, and all the different dynamics that came along with that, then coming out of it, and then just life and under pressure at work, all the transition that's happening, you know, with the transition out of COVID, in addition to just regular work. So talk about some of the dynamics and some of the dynamics that women you're working with are sharing, and what is really most prevalent at this time that we need to be paying attention to.
So I think one of the biggest things that happened when we transitioned into our homes and started working from home is that we started to, because, you know, when you're out in the world and you're working and you're doing a lot of activities, There are some distractions, a lot of distractions, and we don't necessarily think about, how we're feeling or how we're doing emotionally or our mental health or anything. We don't have to think about it because we have so many distractions. So the biggest thing that people come to me in a sacred space about is really about all of the stuff that came up for them while they were at home and in the quiet and with their families and, and having to really just be in it. It moved a lot of people from an illusion of what they were living or how they were living into reality. And so, yeah, because people were not in the reality. A lot of people were so far out of reality because of all the external things that they were doing. They were focused on that. They weren't really focused on what was going on internally. And I think when we went home, when we came home after COVID, we really had to think about like how we really feel, because there's no distractions, there's nobody to blame for our feelings, there's no, activity we can go out and do when we're feeling a certain way. So we literally had to sit in it. So that's what I'm seeing a lot of women come out with, just this, not knowing how to cope with the reality of what they've created, right? Because we're not paying attention to what we're creating. If we can find something to feel good, if we can go out and, to a bar, or we can go out and watch plays, or we can go out and climb mountains, go to the ocean, whatever it is we like to do, we can't go out and hide and run from whatever the reality is that we're creating. So we had to really sit in our reality, and being able to cope with that, having the tools and the skills to be able to cope with everything that's coming up, seeing yourself, seeing your life and what you really created. A lot of divorces happen during and after COVID. A lot of, breakups of families is what I've seen during COVID. It's just been really incredible to watch, the truth be revealed. And we're still in that time where the truth is being revealed to us and to our in our lives. And so the thing that we're doing with our clients is helping them to remember who they really are. Because when you get it back into your reality, usually because you haven't paid attention, you may have created chaos, or you may have created a lot of stuff that you don't want to be in or you don't want to do. You're like, what was I thinking? Why is this here? Because no, now you can't escape it. And so that's not who you are. Who you are lies beneath those layers, right? So going back to remembering who you are, plucking off those layers of what you've created that you no longer want, things that are not in alignment with you any longer, then now you can pluck those layers off and then remember who you are and move in that. And that's going to give you the coping skills. It's going to give you, the energy. It's going to give you what you want. A lot of people came out of COVID very heavy, super heavy, right? Because they're sitting in the stuff. And the energy, when it's stuck, is heavy. It feels heavy in the body. It feels heavy on your emotions. It feels heavy in your mind. When you have energy stuck, which a lot of us got from sitting at home, working behind computers, or just being at home, period, we got stuck in that energy. So it wasn't just your physical body, it was your energetic body being influenced. It was your mental body being influenced. It was your emotional body being influenced. And a lot of us don't think about, we have several bodies. We focus a lot on our physical body. So being able to, have the tools that you need requires that you remember who you are. And so that's one of the things that's the foundation of the seven steps that I'm going to share with you today to really manage your emotional and mental well-being in the workplace based on what you have discovered and based on the changes that you want to make in your life, so that now you're creating your life in reality and you're also creating the life that you want to live, the life that is you thriving, living in the highest expression of yourself. And so that's really where, we want to go. And so what you'll see now, even in the on the TV with the celebrities and all these shows is you see a lot of celebrities changing, like they're coming back to themselves, they're leaving, these, industry things, they're stopped doing certain things. NDIRE is one, and I think Black China is one, and different people who are like changing because they're like, listen, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be this anymore. I don't want to not be seen anymore. I don't want to sacrifice who I am anymore to be a high achiever. And so one of the things we have in the sacred space is about, high achiever doesn't necessarily mean high quality, right? And so you really want to choose, like, do I just want high achieving life, or do I want high achieving and to live a high quality life, or do I just want to live a high quality life? And so these are the things that questions we can ask ourselves when we're moving into this transition, because we are in a transition in our world. So nobody now can stop it. It can't be stopped. Like, you're gonna transition, but you have to decide, is it gonna be chaotic or is it gonna be in peace? And I'll
Right,
stop there
kicking
before I
and
go ahead.
screaming, or
Right.
you're gonna
Right.
surrender. Yeah, very well said. Okay, well, should we step into some of the steps for the transition?
Yeah, let's
Yeah,
go.
let's go.
So I want to give, I'm going to give you 7 steps for how to manage your emotional well-being inside and mental well-being inside of the workplace. And then I want to talk a little bit about those of you who want to transition out of the workplace, because that's something that I did over 20 years ago. I left my workplace and I still have that my manager's voice in my head, which was hilarious, because she was like, listen, you're only 29 years old. What are you gonna do? And I said, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I'm not doing this. That is still in my head to this day, decades later. And I was like, and she just looked at me like, you'll be back. And I have never looked back since. So if you want to transition out of, your workspace or corporate space, you can do it. You can do it. And one of the things I did is I wrote my resignation letter and put it in my desk. And I just wrote it and I put it in my desk and I said, I'm going to leave this job. I don't know when, but I'm going to put it on paper, write it, write the vision, make it plain, right? So I wrote it down, I put it in my desk, typed it up, and it was in my desk for 1 year to the day I left my job.
Really,
Yes,
1 year.
1 year to the day. Yes.
And did something happen to trigger it? I mean, I think you shared some of the story previously, but again, for folks who are just joining us, was it some one thing that just triggered you to do it that day? And then also, how it sounds like you knew you were not just leaving that job, but you were not going to get another one.
Oh, no. I definitely, because for me, a job is a job is a job, right? And so the problem was, I didn't have any intention on getting a job, right? The problem was, I had the paycheck consciousness, right? And so when I left that job, I had not prepared to be an entrepreneur. I was prepared to be mentally sane, right? Because that job was driving me crazy. I could not, I wanted to, and my health, I just wanted to be healthy and I wanted to be free. And so that was my request to spirit was, I just want my freedom. It wasn't to make a whole lot of money. It wasn't to be big and famous. It was my freedom. And still, my freedom is 56. I'm 56, and it's still the same thing. It's about being free and being liberated to be able to be myself and be who I, am, right? And so that was the thing for me. But it was a lot of things that happened, in that week that I left my job. But I think the thing that's coming up right now is that my father passed away. And so my father had given his whole life to, a government job. And that was in our family. Like, my family worked high-end government jobs. And so I was following in their footsteps. I had moved to from Atlanta to DC so that I could get a higher, because in Atlanta I couldn't get into a higher grade. And so, someone told me move to the national office and you can, do it. And so I went there to, get a higher grade so I could, start on my career. And once I got there and I spent some time with my father, he was there, and just watching his life and looking at, how it took its toll on him being in service and then coming out and being in this, this government, job. It really took its toll on him. And I could see myself in him. And I was like, and then when he passed away, it was like he had been on a battlefield. It was the same with my mom. She worked for the government for over 30 years. And it was like when she passed away, it's like she had been in a battle, And I just decided, I'm not, this is not going to be my life. I love my parents. I appreciate my parents, but they are the ones who taught me how to live, because for them, they passed away before 56. And now I'm 56 and I plan on getting way past this age, So I had to make some different decisions. I had to decide to live my life differently. I seek support from my mentors who I worked with for 5 years to help me to heal the stuff that I didn't know, that I couldn't see, So my decision in that moment was, I can't be sick. I can't be like I'm in a war because I want a job. Why am I here? How is this enhancing my life? And I couldn't, and the only thing I could come up with was, I can pay my bills. That's it. There was no other, and I love the people that I work with. That was my group was amazing. And so I was like, okay, so these two things, I'm making money and I love the people that I'm working with. Is that a good enough? But I'm miserable and I have headaches and I'm sick all the time. So is that a good trade-off? Right? Is that a good sacrifice? So for me, the answer was no. And so there were several different things that happened to push me, right? But that was the main thing, and that's the main thing to this day that helps me to stay grounded when this gets hard, when this gets, to a point where it's like, wow, because I'm expanding. And whenever you're growing, you have growing pains. And that is still the thing that keeps me going. What is your alternative? Okay, so the first step I want to say is practice self-care. So we know, we hear that all the time. Take care of yourself, take care of yourself. I feel like it's such a cliche that we don't do it, right? So I'm still gonna put it on my list because it's we
That's
don't do it.
hilarious.
I talk to people all the time. They're like, yeah, I take care of myself. I'm like, well, how do you do that? Oh, I get my nails done, I get a massage, I go get, I'm like, okay. So listen, taking time for yourself, prioritizing yourself is self-care, right? And so when you go get your hair done, your nails done, that may be like a routine, but is that a prioritize? Right? Is that you putting yourself first, right? And then taking some time to be mindful, maybe just spending a few minutes a day, 5 or 10 minutes a day, just breathing and being still so that you can get clarity. Because for me, what self-care brings for me is clarity so that I can move with clarity and confidence. And so sometimes we're moving in what I call our humanity rather than our divinity. So we're moving in humanity, but we're not that confident, or we're real confident. And when we get on the other side, it's not really what we wanted. So we have to take that time to take care of ourselves, prioritize ourselves, and do what we have to do. And so people, when I tell people that, they say, well, Melanie, I don't really have time. And so my thing is this, or I don't know how. Right. And so what I tell women is this: you take time now, or time is taken later. Right. Or you can, when people call you, especially people you love, and they say, I need so and so, so and so, and you jet out the door so that you can show them, I'm here for you, I love you. Do the same thing for yourself. Right? That's how. So if you're saying to yourself, you don't know how to take care of yourself, look at how you take care of others. Take a clue from there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we take care of others really good.
Yeah, and quickly.
And quick.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so now we need to apply that to ourselves. Okay, step number two, set boundaries. Now, this one is big because when mm-hmm. I say set boundaries to people, the first thing you think of is what? External, right? I need to set some boundaries with these people. But the first boundary you have to set before you set an external boundary is an internal boundary. That's the first step, because if you don't have internal boundaries, your external boundaries are not gonna work. Mm-hmm. Have you ever set a boundary with somebody and told, like, I have this funny story about, like, I don't like people like the do drop by my house, just drop by because they're in the neighborhood. No. So I used to set external boundaries all the time without setting an internal boundary, and people still did it, just drop by, right? And so I had to learn, and I let them in. That's the issue, right?
Okay.
I let them in. I'm like, okay. Because mm-hmm. they know I'm home, right? And so I said, okay, I got to stop this. How do I stop it? Because I was spending my days with people and talking and, you know, getting distracted and not doing the things that I need to do, prioritizing myself, right? And so I said, okay, what is my internal boundary here? My internal boundary is don't let people in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I had to do the work around it to see, why do I let people in? You know, why is it when I tell people not to drop by and they do it anyway that I feel like I have to let them in?
Right.
See, that's the work, right? We always talk about the work of emotional and mental health. You got to do your work. That's the work. The work is, why am I letting them in? Because I feel like, you know, I don't want them to be mad at me, or I don't want them to think that I'm ignoring them. Why? What is it inside of you that gets triggered? Were you ignored before?
Mm-hmm.
You know, were you feeling like, you know, somebody was, you know, not treating you well, or, you know, wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't thinking that they wouldn't like you if you didn't do a certain thing. So what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Ask yourself some questions.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And that is the basis of that is fear. And we talked about that last time we had the talk. So fear is all about, you know, asking yourself every emotion, in my opinion, every emotion that's not love is fear. So if you're saying, if I'm saying, okay, don't come to my house and I'm letting you in anyway, what am I afraid of? That's the first question. What am I afraid of? And not opening this door.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to snap you into reality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I think that's really good. Because just, I was going to get at this, but you got to it anyway. The questions, like, because I can hear you in all these processes, you are asking certain questions. But sometimes I think that's key. Like, what questions do you ask, right? To
yes.
get to the core of things, and you're getting to that as we go. So that's beautiful. That's amazing. Okay.
Yeah. You know, we're here. You know, we are here.
Yes.
So, you know, we think alike. So, and that's what it is. It's really about getting to, you know, the core of it by mm-hmm. asking yourself the questions. And if you don't know how to formulate the questions, I always tell people do the opposite. So if you're, So in an exercise that I ask people, what do they want? Most people can't really tell me what they want. Mm-hmm. They can tell me one or two things, or it's very surface things, right? And so I'll say, okay, what don't you want? And so then I get a list of 100. Okay. I'm like, oh. So, which is really great, because then I can tell you, okay, what's the opposite of that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now you know what you want.
Okay.
Because the opposite of what you don't want is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's how you set boundaries, because you're like, I don't know the internal boundary. So if you just, like, I just used example, what's going on inside of me that I'm allowing people to cross my boundary?
Yeah.
Right. Do I think they're more valuable than me? Do I think their feelings are more important than mine? And where did that come from? Right? And now, after you reflect on it, then you release it. You let go of that. It's like, oh, okay, I know where that came from. That came from when, my mom used to tell me I couldn't tell nobody what to do. Sit down and be quiet, just for an example. And so now I'm releasing that. That's like, oh, I'm a grown woman. So I make decisions based on who I am now, not who I was then. And then I'm very gentle with my inner child, and I talk to her. Her name is Tika. And I say, okay, Tika, we're changing now. Okay. We're shifting.
You
All right.
named
Because
your
she will
inner
act out.
child. I love that. I haven't heard that before. You named your inner child. And it's
Yeah.
not the same name. Why isn't it the same name?
Well, that was my childhood name.
Oh,
My
okay.
sister, yeah, had given me that name. My mom said she started calling me that when she was very young. And so it just stuck. So that was the nickname. In the South, you're born in the South, everybody got a nickname, okay, in the South. So, that was my nickname. And so I talked to her and I like, Tika, we're getting ready to shift because, your inner child will act out. Right. And so I said, we're getting ready to shift. And this is what we need to do. So now I'm releasing the old belief systems or the false belief system that says I have to do what people want me to do. And then after I reflect, release, now I open myself up to receive what I want. Right? So this is the three principles or steps that I use in the foundation of all of my coaching programs: reflect, release, receive. If you can do those three things and really break it down, you can move through pretty much anything. But you have to be willing to tell yourself the truth. That's the main thing. So setting boundaries, setting limits, okay, in the workplace, when we talk about the workplace, setting limits with your colleagues, and demands, it can help you feel like you're managing things and then you don't get overwhelmed. So if you set boundaries where you can in the workplace and not convince yourself that you don't have a voice, that you can't set a boundary, like people may think this or you or that or you. No, this is you prioritizing yourself, putting yourself first and letting people think whatever they need to think. You know who you are. You know what you can do. And so your thing is to set those boundaries so you don't feel overwhelmed. And then after you set them, clearly communicate your boundaries to people. This is one things that people, again, don't do. They don't set an internal boundary first, and then they don't communicate their boundaries. They just set the boundary, and then when somebody steps over it, it's all, chaos. And so we want to make sure that we can set the internal boundary. When you're with a colleague, you have to, so when you're talking to someone who works with you and you feel overwhelmed because they keep piling work on you or they're not pulling their weight or whatever, the first thing is internal boundary. The internal boundary is I am valuable, right? And I'm not going to allow myself to get overwhelmed. I'm not going to allow people to put more stuff on me than I can handle, right? I don't want to be overwhelmed. And so that's the internal boundary. And in order not to be overwhelmed, now you set the external boundary. I have to use my voice and communicate to my colleagues or coworkers, what my limits are. And it's okay to have limits because what happens is when we don't have limits, we end up blowing up and doing crazy stuff anyway. So instead of ruining your reputation, set your limit. Set it internally first and then communicate your boundary. And then when you need to say no, say no. Just say no. And then the next step goes with the boundaries is foster supportive relationships, right? And so one of the things that you want to do is I always say, asking for support is a power move. So you want to always be able to ask for support. It is no longer the day when we can sit back and be in our minds like what we want, and somebody's going to walk up to us and say, what do you need? Everybody is busy. Everybody's overwhelmed. Everybody's doing something. And so with you now, it's time for you to use your voice. It's time for you to ask for the support that you need. First, identify, because some of us don't even know how to be supported, right? Because we just have never asked. We support everyone else. And then when we ask for what we think we need, it may not be it, but you got to keep practicing. I remember when I first hired my personal assistant, it was hilarious because I didn't know how to be supported. Right. And she didn't know how to deal with me. She was like 19 and she's breaking into tears all the time. And I was like, there's no crying in personal assistant. What are you doing? I don't understand. Why are you crying? I didn't do anything. I'm not yelling at you. What's happening? You know, but I had to learn how to be supported and she had to learn how to use her voice. Mm-hmm. Because instead of using her voice, she used tears.
Yeah.
We learn that, right? Yeah. But then when you use tears, nobody knows what you need.
Right.
So you can have the tears, but then use your voice.
Yeah. That's a big one. I remember not having a clue about, I remember, so at some point the question was asked, what do you need? and it was always astounding that it would take me a long time to answer.
Yes.
Because you're right. We just don't think about it naturally. So it does take practice.
Yes.
It does take practice.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when you start to spend that quiet time, that goes back to step one, you will get that clarity. If you don't have any quiet time, you won't have clarity.
Yeah.
Right. And we get frustrated because we end up overloaded and we're looking at other people like, don't you see me? And they're like, well, you don't know how to, you know, how you need help. So I don't know how to help you. And so my thing was to learn how to, you know, let go of some things and allow her, trust her to do what, you know, I was asking her to do. And it took us about a year and a half to really figure it out. But now we're 9 years strong and we're business partners. Like, she's helped me create so many things. And we've created, oh my goodness, helped so many people, created so many programs and workshops and protocols just because we took the time to get to know each other and to get to know the needs and use our voices and grow. And so it's been 9 years. It's very powerful. Very powerful relationship. So when you take the time out to make sure that you are communicating your needs and that you know, you are getting clear, taking your time for yourself and getting clear on what you need. And the next thing to this fostering supportive relationships is you have to choose to spend time with people who offer you positivity and encouragement at work. Because when you get caught up in that, you know, water cooler conversation about like, so-and-so is not doing this and so-and-so is not doing that, that is bringing down your energy and vibration. And so you want to make sure that you're staying positive, you're around positive people, because when you have that overwhelm, when you go into those dark spaces, it just gets heavier.
Yeah.
But if you're in the light, you can, you know, you can see. You can see yourself and you can see your way out. Okay. So step four, advocate for yourself. This one is a big one too, that I see all the time, is that, you know, you have to speak up when there are things that, you know, are just not resonating with you. Be proactive in creating a safe space in your work environment for yourself first, and then for others. It's so important that we advocate for ourselves. A lot of times, again, going back to the boundaries, we think that, you know, somebody might get mad or they may say this or that. So the thing is not to not use your voice. The thing is to know when and how to use your voice. Because by the time we've said something, now it's coming out like crazy. Right? It's coming out because we've been holding it for so long. So the energy behind it just feels like an attack to someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't want to hold it. Your feelings are valid. Everything you're saying is valid, but you want to work through your own feelings and emotions. That's the thing about, you know, asking yourself those questions. You know, why is it that I feel this way? What am I afraid of? break it down and pull off those layers. So when you use your voice and when you're advocating for yourself, there's not a lot of resentment, anger, and frustration behind it. I think that's why a lot of Black women get labeled, as having attitudes because we don't really speak up until we're really, really frustrated.
That's a big one, Milani. I think because we there is a responsibility that we have to do that work first, because you talked about it last time too. You said what comes through, the pain comes through instead of the power. And I think that's huge, because sometimes we do blame others, and it's not to say there aren't other things coming at us externally, but I do think that responsibility is what you're kind of outlining, that what we have to do for ourselves so that then we can, speak on our behalf in a way that the power comes through and not the pain.
And it's and that's to get if you want to get the results that you're seeking. Because if you lash out in pain, you're probably not going to get what you're seeking.
What you're seeking.
Right. But if you show up in power, you will get it, and not in the power of pain. A lot of us show up that way because we haven't worked through. Remember your three steps. You're going to reflect on what's going on, what's happening. I feel unappreciated. Why do I feel unappreciated? Right? Because so and so did this. When's the last time you felt that way? Or have you felt that way before? Yes, I've been feeling that way all my life. So you know it's not about so and so. That's something now that you need to heal. So that's why we take personal accountability, because most of the time we're triggered, it's just an open wound from the past that we have not healed. But we want to make it about the situation or the person or the place or the thing, and it's not. So that you reflect and then you release. It's like, okay, I have to release this feeling of always being unappreciated. I am appreciated. Then you start affirming yourself, because that's going to be the step number six. We're going to go through step number five, but step number six is about finding inspiration, affirming yourself, listening to positive things, that you can find that really uplift you. Right. And then you can release and let go of that and heal that open wound. And then you open yourself up to receive the results that you're seeking. It's a very powerful round that you do in that trinity that helps you to recover. And that's what we do, help women to recover. It's so important. And then remember, how you do one thing is how you do everything. So if you're at home wilding out, you're going to be at work wilding out. If you're at home not dealing with your emotions, you're going to be at work not dealing with your emotions. If you're at home neglecting yourself, you're going to be at work neglecting yourself. And the problem about that is, however you're treating yourself is how people are going to treat you, right? So people say, treat people how you want to be treated. That's not what happens. That's a nice world. But what happens is people treat you how you treat you. So think about how you're treating you and then look at your life.
That's a
So
good
some
distinction. That's a good distinction.
Sometimes you treat yourself good. So sometimes you meet people who will give you the world. And sometimes you're neglecting yourself, negative self-talk, sitting in the shadows in the dark. And then people come up and that's how they treat you. Like you're invisible because you're hiding. When you're hiding, you're going to be treated like you're invisible. When you don't speak your truth, you're going to be treated like you have nothing to say. All right, that's the personal accountability that you were talking about, Aja, earlier. That's the personal accountability. First, you first. And that is not just in taking care of yourself. That's in when you want to blame someone else. We have a saying that I learned from my mentors, a long time ago when I was going to work with them, is this was I used to go and they used to do healing work with me. It's a couple. And I lay on the table and look up in the ceiling. And in the ceiling, they had a banner in the ceiling that said, everything begins and ends with me. And I looked at that banner for 5 years every week. And everything begins and ends with me. And learning that has just helped me to just thrive in such a beautiful way in my life in every area. And so when you learn that everything begins and ends with you, that you create it all by some behavior, by some, because sometimes it's not the thing that happened, it's the way that you're responding or dealing with it and what you're creating. Right? Because when I tell people they create it all, of course they come back to me with a bunch of stuff, you know, what did I create this and I create that? No, but you're creating how you're, you know, dealing with it and acting around it. And so you keep bringing it into your life because you're mad at it. So that's the personal responsibility that we have to take. So when people are looking at you like they don't understand you or they can't hear you, check yourself. How am I feeling in this moment? And then let me, you know, let me work through that. Let me process this, you know, because if the feeling is frustrated, that's fear. If the feeling is angry, that's fear. If the feeling is ignored, that's fear. So ask yourself, if I'm angry, what am I afraid of? I'm afraid this person is not going to hear me. Okay, is that the truth? Okay. That's what you want to just break it down. Is it the truth? And then when you say yes, it's the truth. Okay, is it the truth now or is it the truth from the past? Right? I'm giving y'all the whole coaching session on this. Y'all be thank you for this. Okay. All right. So number five, we kind of skipped a little bit, but seek out mentors. This is so important. Find mentors who have experience, can help you with guidance and support. There's no one that we can look at that we know that we can see externally that has gotten to a high level of anything without some type of mentor or some type of support. Look, asking for support is a power move. You want to make sure that you have somebody that you can talk to that knows you or is getting to know you, that can help you see you, that's a mirror for you so that you can see yourself, because most of the things that bring us so much chaos and drama in our lives, we don't even see, because if we saw it, we will fix it. Right? So we have to be open to seeking out support. We talked about finding inspiration. I love affirmations. I said, you know, sometimes we talk ourselves into trouble. So why can't we talk ourselves out of it? You know, so if you're struggling with confidence issues or you're struggling with transitioning out of the workplace, if you're struggling with, you know, being in the workplace, coping with your feelings and emotions, your whole thing is to get inspired and motivated. Do something outside of work that just motivates you. Before I left my job for that whole year, because I had read this book and I can't remember the name of the book to save my life right now, but I had read this book and it said, whatever you let go of violently, you're forever bound to. So I decided that I was going to be in that job and be happy because I was mad all the time in that job. But I decided I don't care what, I'm going to be happy. And what I did is I got a life outside of my job and stopped letting my job just be my life. I started listening to motivational tapes, going to different seminars, you know, for entrepreneurs and that type of thing, and just doing things that made me happy and gave me hope to know one day I'm stepping out of these doors. I did not know what that when that day was going to be. I just wrote my resignation letter, did put a date on it, put it in the drawer, and then I got happy. I got happy because I wanted to walk away from that job, right? Number one, with the people that I was working with not wanting to see me go. I didn't want to leave with people saying, good, get out, kicking me out the door, right? I wanted to leave with that people like, wow. You know, you're at the top of your game right now and you're leaving. Yes, because I want them to know that it's possible for you to do it. You don't have to be mad. And I wanted myself to be free when I left, so I never had to return. Right? So that's what I wanted. So find that inspiration that makes you feel good. Don't look for it at your job if you can't get it. Get it outside. And the last step is take time off. When work gets overwhelming, take some time off. You know, give yourself some fresh perspective and renewed energy. I know people who have tons of vacation time, tons of sick leave, and half the time they use a vacation time to go run errands and stuff. When you use your vacation time, take some time for yourself just to be with you. Come on. You running errands with vacation time? What is happening? Okay. The bottom line is, who are you to you? Not who you are to someone else. Your mental and emotional well-being is all about who you are to you. Think about it. When we're out of balance emotionally and mentally, sometimes it's just about the environment that we're in. It's what we're subjecting ourselves to. Who are you to you? And that, when you figure that out, the rest is easy. The rest is easy to figure out. So those are the seven steps. Practice self-care. Set internal and external boundaries. Foster supportive relationships. Advocate for yourself. Speak up for you. Seek out mentors, and support. Find your inspiration. Find that thing that makes you feel good and take some time off just for you. Take that vacation time and just do whatever you want to do. Just lay around your house. Veg out on some shows or go to the beach and just spend time with the water. What do you love? Give yourself that. And then while you're doing that, get some clarity. Get some clarity. Clear your mind. Ask yourself some questions. Find some journal promptings on the internet and just write in your journal and ask yourself some questions. Real deep questions, and then answer them honestly. Don't answer them based on who you want to be. Answer them based on what you see in your life, because that's the proof right there. What are you seeing and feeling and experiencing in your life? That's how you're going to determine who you are and how you want to move forward.
We are speaking with Melani Shani, master coach and mentor, and she has taken us on a journey of emotional, mental, and health and healing. And we've talked a little bit about the workplace, women in the workplace, and now moving into a little bit more about the transition. We talked about that too, but the path, creating the path forward in that process. So she's got some steps on that for us, Melani, and then we'll share a little bit more about some other goings on you have coming up, and then we'll close out.
Okay, so the first thing is you want to assess your reason and motive for leaving. When you transition, when you want to transition out of your job and you're looking to, start your own business, or you're just ready to leave. So assess your reason and motive. What is it that I want to do, or why is it that I want to leave? What am I looking forward to? So when you look at that, it'll be a little bit easier for you to look at, like, visualize your intentions, what it is that you're moving into, what you're leaving behind. Walk through those three steps that I gave you, reflect on it, release whatever is holding on to you, whatever fears you have, and then get ready to receive whatever it is that you want. So what is your reason why you're leaving? And let it not be like because you're frustrated, but just if you are frustrated, it's okay, but leave because you want a better life for yourself and you want to thrive. Okay, so that's the thing that you want to do. The other thing is make sure that you're doing building confidence and self-awareness exercises. This is very, very important because when you leave the workspace and you move into entrepreneurship, it's two totally different things. Or when you move into your soul's purpose, which is what I did, it's two totally different spaces. And so in one space, I was extremely confident in my job because I've been doing it forever, right? So it's very easy, came easy to me. And then now I'm moving into a space that is purposeful. So I've been working in that too, but I haven't done it full time. And I don't have, a lot of support in that area, which I did with my job. So make sure that you're building your confidence, you're self-aware, and you're letting yourself, you're giving yourself a learning curve. Also, identify what your strengths are, identify what things that may not be as strong. And if there are some things you want to work on, you want to get a deep understanding of that and what you want to work on. And so when you step yourself out of your workplace, you are crystal clear. And confident in how you're moving. Also, you want to build, develop a clear vision for yourself, and also release the paycheck consciousness, release the corporate support consciousness, whatever it is that your job is giving you. You got to release all of that, let all that go, and know that you are taken care of, that you are taken care of by the universe, that you have more than enough of what you need. That's a shift in consciousness, right? It's not just a shift in like your thought process, like it's a whole shift in consciousness as to I get my abundance and prosperity from everywhere. I have relationships with people who will love to help me to move forward in my you know, what I'm doing. And I have people who are waiting for me to leave this place so that I can support them with the tools and all of the skills that I have. And I am waiting for my own freedom and for my own mental health and emotional health and well-being and my physical health. I know I can do this. I know that I'm ready for it. You know, these are the things that you want to say as you're developing a very clear vision for yourself. And then also the last thing is that you have to be build support. A support system. It's so important that you build a support system of people around you who believe in you, who believe and know your vision. And so when you get to a point where you may be a little bit unsure, you've told them about your vision and they can come back and talk to you about what you've told them and why you said it was important. There was this thing that said, you know, a friend is someone who knows the song in your heart and can sing it back to you when you really need to hear it. And so building a support system is like that. Some people around you who can let you know, hey, listen, this is what you wanted to do. And, you know, we believe in you. We know you can. We know things may not be going the way you want it, but continue to strive, you know, to get what it is that you want and to go where you want to go. So those are the three steps that you can use just to start to think about transitioning from the workplace as far as your mental and emotional, because the stronger and more stable you feel inside, the easier it will be for you to do the outside work. Because people, you know, they want to do business plans and all of that. And all of that is great. But if you're not mentally and emotionally ready, you know, it's going to be inevitable for you not to be able to continue. I was reading this thing that the other day, the statistics for people who start business, especially Black women, and are able to maintain their business. Like Black women are the fastest growing entrepreneurs, but I think the number is something like only 3% or 5% are able to sustain their business over 5 years. And a lot of that is around that internal work that we haven't done. You know, we're a worker bee, so we're going to do all the external work, but there's internal work that needs to be done before we make that step out.
All right, very good. You heard it. Milani, again, thank you so much for the sharing this afternoon and that wealth of information. I mean, that's probably 10 books right there you just gave us. And I look forward to listening to this session again and sharing it with others. The website again, give that to us one more time, Milani.
It's msglobal1.com or herfirstacademy.com. If you'd like to join the academy, you can join the waiting list.
Very good. And I'm so excited for the growth and evolution of MS Global. Just amazing to watch how it's evolving and all, just think of all the lives that you're touching. So we appreciate you. We thank you and wishing you continued success, Milani, Shani. And thanks again for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for listening to Conversations with Her podcast. For more information about Milani Shani and the Her First Collective, log on to herfirstacademy.com.
Stay tuned in for just a few minutes to hear a snippet of the beautiful sounds and music of World Rhythm Nation on Atlanta's WRFG Radio.
Faithful, yeah. Grateful, yes, I'm Faithful, yeah.